even before his expected unseating as Senate President, Juan Ponce Enrile has announced his resignation. Well, a man of his age should be in the comfort of retirement now. Instead, at 89, he is proving to be still a very controversial figure. And he still has 3 years of his Senate term, which means if other controversies erupt, he would be in his 90s and still controversial. Well, who knows how many more fights he will be waging. But his 89 or 90 years are nothing compared to the length of time that the church has been raging or waging its war in the world. But the battle is not in the halls of power like the Senate, nor is the church equal to a senator. Instead, the church finds itself in a situation of weakness, bullied by many forces in the world. And no book of the Bible, no book of the New Testament reveals this situation of the church more clearly than the last book, which is the book of Revelation. But perhaps no book is more avoided by good Christians than this book because of the fear of misinterpretation. There is indeed difficulty. May hirap talaga paunawain ang aklat ng pahayag at dahil dyan ay maraming umiiwas sa aklat na ito. But if we can appreciate the message of this book, it will prove very relevant to our times. The situation here is that of the Apostle John, the author, becomes a microcosm of what the church is like in this world. John was banished by the Roman Empire in an island known as Patmos. It is now an island that belongs to the country of Greece. And the scenery in this island is that of rugged volcanic hills surrounded by the sea. And this could register nothing but gloom on any inhabitant of that island. And yet, it is in this gloomy situation that the most glorious visions are given to John. How like the church. Ang iglesia ay nasa isang nakapanlulumong kalagayan. Kung titingnan natin ito na inuusig, binabantayan at tinutugis ng maraming pwersa sa mundo. Ngunit ang iglesia ang may hawak-hawak ng pinakamaganda, kinakailangang pahayag na mula sa Diyos na kailangan ng mundong ito. And that is what John was, gloomy in Patmos, yet he bore the revelation of God, and now he passed on that revelation to the church. So the book of Revelation is giving the church the balance of, on the one hand, realism. There is gloom in her situation. And yet, on the other, is that of optimism. Behind the church is the plan of God. Behind the church is the power of God through the Holy Spirit. And we need this balance, not tilting on the one side at the expense of the other. Not being optimistic while blind to the realities, nor just being scared of realities without the confidence of the optimistic design of God for the church. And the opening verses give us the situation of the church as it relates first to the Word and then to the world. We spent the first two messages trying to analyze what John is saying concerning the church. And if there is anything that can summarize well what the church ought to be in order to maintain its identity as the church, it must be the church of the Word. It must be defined by the apostolic word, whatever the situation. And the promise to such a church is glorious. The triune God is active through the church of the apostolic word. Ganito ang iglesia. Kapag ang iglesia ay may pagkakakilanlan na iglesia siya ng salita, ang kumikilos na aktibo sa pamamagitan ng iglesyang iyon ay hindi senador, hindi presidente, hindi ang anumang mga makapangyarihan sa politika, hindi celebrity. Ang kumikilos ay walang iba kundi ang Trinidad na Diyos. Bakit mo gugustuhing ipagpalit yan? And yet that is what many churches are occupied doing. They are looking for substitutes, other ways to be relevant to their times, and they have ceased to be the church of the Word. And we need to be the church of the Word, and only then are we prepared to be the church to the world. I invite you now to open your Bibles to Revelation 1, and we'll now read from verse 1 to verse 6. Revelation 1, verses 1 to 6. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants the things that must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, we observed last time that there are three titles given to Christ in this opening vision. We confined ourselves last week to the first of these titles, that he is the faithful witness, and that becomes the pattern for the church. And I suggested then that the next two titles connect more to the message at hand, that is the church to the world. In the next two titles, the Lord Jesus Christ is called the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of kings on earth. I'll just pause for a while. Ruler of kings on earth. This is an amazing claim, even to the point of sounding very much out of place. Sinasabi mo na siya ang namamahala sa mga hari ng mundo, ito ang lingkod niya na si Juan ay pinatapon sa isla ng Patmos. Paanong masasabi na siya ang namamahala sa mga hari ng mundo? How can you say that Jesus Christ is ruler of the kings of the earth when your servant John is now banished to a very gloomy situation, a very gloomy place in Patmos? Well, very similar with the situation of the church. The church many times is in a condition that is small, gloomy, and harassed by forces that they have no control over. And how can such a church maintain that Christ is ruler of the kings of the earth? But that is precisely what this vision to John is claiming. And from that I take this message. Under his kingly rule, Christ's church is sent to the world to glorify him. Sa ilalim ng kanyang makaharing pamamahala, ang iglesia ng Panginoong Hesukristo ay sinugo sa mundo upang luwalhatiin siya. Under his kingly rule, Christ's church is sent to the world to glorify him. Now, of the three persons of the Godhead, Christ is mentioned last precisely to prepare the church for its mission. Who Christ is has the most immediate connection to what the church is to be to the world. And so we think, what of Christ must the church bring to bear on her mission? And even in a gloomy situation in terms of gospel prospect, a gloomy situation like Patmos, like the church in the first century, or extend it to our time, a gloomy situation like the Philippines, or LB, or Mainit. How do we let Christ, what is it of Christ that we bring to bear on our mission? May I suggest three? First, his rule, ang kanyang pamamahala. Second, his love, ang kanyang pagmamahal. And third, his praise, ang kanyang kapurihan. His rule, his love, his praise. When the church stands and finds the world before her, what should the church bring to bear from Christ? Well, first of all, his rule. Christ is here called king, ruler, and the rule of Christ is recognized in two areas. He rules over the kings of the earth. And then he mentions here his kingdom, referring to true believers. Now the difference is that the kings on earth do not recognize that they are under his rule. Yung mga hari ng mundo, pinamamahalaan sila ni Jesus, yun lamang hindi nila kinikilala, hindi nila alam at hindi nila kinikilala na namamahala si Kristo sa kanila. While the people of God are those who actually have come to the point of bowing down to His kingship. Yan ang panawagan ng Ebanghelyo. Ang panawagan ng Ebanghelyo tungo sa kaligtasan ay ang yumukod ka sa pamamahala na Yesu Kristo. Kilalanin mo na siya ay Panginoon. Anumang doktrina mayroon ka kay Yesu Kristo kung hindi ka yuyukod sa Kanya ng pananampalataya na siya ay Panginoon at siyang tanging makapagliligtas, hindi ka kabilang sa Kanyang kaharian. Oo, namamahala sa Yesu Kristo maging sa mundo, ngunit namamahala siya sa mga taong hindi kumikilala sa Kanya. At ang tanging talagang mananampalataya ay ang kumikilala sa Panginoong Yesu Kristo. Nakarating ka na ba sa punto na yumukod ka sa Kanya bilang iyong Panginoon? Maring naririnig mong paulit-ulit ang ganitong uri ng mensahe at umuwi ka ng bahay pagkagaling sa simbahan na walang nangyari, hindi mo pa rin Panginoon si Yesu Kristo. At ang ibig sabihin, hindi ka pa rin kabilang sa Kanyang kaharian, hindi ka paligtas. Kung maipaparamdam ko lang sa iyo kung gaano kalagim ang katotohanan na yan na natutulog ka gabi-gabi na walang Panginoon at namumuhay ka araw-araw na walang Panginoon, yan ay isang malagim na kalagayan at iniaalok muli sa iyo ang pagkapanginoon ni Yesu Kristo. But Christ remains ruler whether we recognize Him or not. But take note here that the reason why He is ruler is because in the first place, He is firstborn of the dead. What it is telling us is that Jesus Christ obtained His kingly rule by virtue of His resurrection. That is the reason why one of the imperatives of Christian belief is that we believe in the risen Christ. That He literally rose from the dead. So we are not talking of the kingly rule of Christ by virtue of His deity. Eh, dito maraming nalilito. Yes, He is God. But the rule He is exercising on behalf of the church is not by His sheer divine power, but as Lord and Savior, which He became by virtue of death and resurrection. It is not because He is God. He obtained it because He willingly died and He rose from the dead. This is the reason why for the church, the key events of history are the cross and the resurrection. It is not any event in science, important as they may be. It is not any event in politics. It is not any event in technology, important as those events may be and the transition that they have ushered in to the church. The most important events in history is when that man from heaven hung between heaven and earth on the cross, and then he penetrated the realm of death. He died, and then He rose from the dead. So nothing of any event in history can match what the cross and the resurrection had done. Because of them, there is a king over all the earth. He is ruler even of kings on the earth. So since He rose from the dead, He has been exercising kingly rule unbeknown to the world. While John was in Patmos, at that time Domitian, the emperor of Rome, has instigated a terrible persecution by the empire. And it would appear that the church is the victim of whims and caprice of earthly kings. But John is being assured here that the church, John is being assured, and so with the church, that there is a ruler above the kings of the earth. Imagine in the first century, for John and for the churches that John addressed, it took gutsy faith to believe that Christ ruled the kings of the earth. And it takes real faith now to believe it still, with hostile powers harassing the church. You know, during the Second World War, Filipinos conducted the most robust guerrilla campaign in Asia, where most other countries conquered by Japan just yielded, Filipinos continued to conduct very robust guerrilla warfare. And that's because they managed to have a government in exile. The Commonwealth government, first headed by Manuel Luis Quezon, and when Quezon died, headed by President Manuel Rojas, there was a government that they recognized, not the government of Japan. And behind the Commonwealth government was the promise of America. So in other words, the recognition of another authority gave them motive to continue the campaign to wage guerrilla warfare against the conquerors. Well, pretty much like that is the situation of the church. We have a government we recognize, the Lord Jesus Christ. And though not recognized by the kings of the earth, we believe that He rules. And thus, amidst the harassment of all kinds of forces, we wage our guerrilla warfare. The call and the challenge for us when we think of the rule of Christ is submit to the rule of Christ in our vocation in the world. Magpasakop ka sa pamamahala ni Kristo sa panawagan mo sa mundo. Now, it sounds like a simple principle, but its sweep in life is very radical. Take the situation of the first century church in the time of John. For many of them, because they are Christians and they submit to Christ as Lord, that meant for them disadvantage in business. Many businesses were forming guilds, which would be our modern counterpart of cooperatives. And if you cannot join the guild, that would mean disadvantage for you. But if you join the guild, they would require pagan oaths. And here you are, you're a Christian. How can you recite an oath to pagan gods when Christ is your Lord? So you see, the requirement to submit to Christ had sweeping, radical implications for Christians then. And then the worship of the emperor was growing in its peak. Yung pagsamba kay Caesar bilang siyang kuryos, siya ang Panginoon, ay lumalago. And Domitian began to make requirements that anyone who will conduct official business or transaction with the empire must confess Caesar is kurios. And again, Christians could not do that in conscience. So the implication was radical and sweeping then. But so it is today. Maging ngayon, this principle will challenge the believing student in his campus, in his classroom, in his dorm, when you hear jokes exchanged, gossips circulated, cheating arrangements made. Will you be, as a believing student, submit to Christ as your Lord? Or will you laugh at those jokes, no matter that they are so obviously risque? The implications remain radical, remain sweeping, except that to many who profess Christianity today, they would rather retreat. This call to submission will visit a Christian in his workplace and challenge those little compromises, office lies, and misrepresentation. But the greatest challenge is to the church in her mission in this world. Our mission is proclaim Jesus as Lord, which will challenge religions, will challenge nominalism and notional Christianity. The mission is not to become politically active. The church is proclaiming an already sitting king, calling the allegiance of sinners. The church must be a community of members bonded by submission to the rule of their risen king. One of the classics of Christian literature is The City of God, written by Augustine in the wake of the fall of Rome in the year 410 AD. When Rome fell, it was as if the reference point of people of the ancient world has fallen. And Augustine wrote The City of God to call Christians to the real city, which should be our reference point. And it is not Rome, but the City of God. And this is something true today. Is His rule true to you? Let His rule be true to this church as we face the world. Consider next His love. It says, to Him who loves us. Now, what immediately strikes you in this statement is the present tense. I know that some translations use the past tense, but the best manuscripts use the present tense, and I believe it should be. Pangkasalukuyan, pangayon, Him who loves us. But take note that the present love of Christ is proved by something that has been accomplished in the past. He loves us now. The proof, you go back to what He has done. That's the proof. And we learn here that the certainty of Christ's present love for His people is His redemptive sacrifice for them. In proving the continuing, present, and active love of Christ, John points to His blood sacrifice. And this is a typical name of Christ in the book of Revelation more than anywhere else in the New Testament combined. He is the Lamb. 28 times in the book of Revelation, Jesus is called the Lamb, ang Kordero ng Diyos. Ipinapaalala sa mga mananampalataya kung ano ang kanyang ginawa bilang sakripisyong hain. And the immediate accomplishment of His sacrifice is that we are freed from our sins. Or in some translations, washed from our sins. And for a sinner, there is nothing better that the love of Christ can do more than anything in life. Do you know something of that? This freedom from sin. This being washed of our corruption, and that only is through the death of Christ, nothing else. Since the discovery of penicillin, the first antibiotic in 1927, it has been a seesaw battle between resistant bacteria and more antibiotic. As more antibiotic is developed, bacteria, parang may isip, nagkakaroon siya ng resistensya. Panibagong antibiotic na naman ang kailangang gawin para tumugma sa bacteria na iyon. Hindi ganyan ang ginawa ng Panginoon. Hindi pa bago-bago, hindi sinasabing nilinis tayo, pinalaya sa ating kasalanan, at pagkatapos ay may panibago na naman. Wala na tayong ibang titingnan pa at pagkukuhanan ng tunay na kalayaan sa kasalanan at paghuhugas sa ating karumihan, kundi ang ginawa ng ating Panginoong Hesukristo, at yun ang patunay na mahal tayo ng Panginoon ngayon. Motivate your vocation in this world with confidence in the present and active love of Christ. The common mistake of many, even true Christians, is to measure the love of Christ by the present experience of convenience. I'm healthy today, therefore Christ loves me. Why do you mean that when you're sick, Christ's love has waned? Or my situation is all right, Christ loves me. But what if it is not all right? What if it is Patmos and gloomy? Or the worst possibility, death takes a loved one. Does that mean Christ loves us less? You see, the error is to measure Christ's love by the convenient situation we're in, or by the money we enjoy, or the health that we relish. And it is all wrong. The true measure that Christ loves us still is you go back to what He has done on the cross. This is consistent in the New Testament. Romans 5:8, God demonstrates present tense His own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 8:32, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how shall He not also with Him freely or graciously give us all things? So do you want to know that Christ loves you? The clearest proof of that is the cross. The church in Revelation is a hated church. Hated by the empire, hated by the emperor, and hated by these monstrous forces that John will portray in his visions. Seven-headed dragon, beast from the sea, beast from the land, mother of harlots, Babylon the Great. A hated church. What would motivate such a church to be the church of Christ to a hating world? Christ's love displayed on the cross. Listen how Apostle Paul makes this the motive that he wants Christians to exercise. 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ constrains us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. That is, we are joined to that death. There is something compelling to the Christian from the love of Christ. So I return the challenge to you. What about your vocation in this world? Is the love of Christ a compelling, constraining force? You see this in the diary of David Brainerd. Though he had to struggle with his mission among the Indians and became sickly, died young before he was 30 years old. And yet you see the compelling force of the love of Christ in what he has done. Where is that for our part? And then finally, his praise. Take note the final role that John invokes for the church with a mission before venturing on the series of visions. What is that role? Not warrior, but priests. We are priests unto God. And what do priests do? They offer sacrifice. But instead of sacrifices of bulls and goats and lambs, because Christ has offered himself as the once for all sacrifice, all those Old Testament sacrifices are done. The sacrifice of Christians now is praise, pagpupuri sa Panginoon. And take note the content of praise: to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So what was asserted, He is King, He is ruler now. Now the response is praise in recognition of that. Sinabing siya'y namamahala, ang tugon ng mananampalataya, purihin ang Panginoon. The assured triumph of the kingly rule of Christ occupies the church with praising Him. Doesn't it sound sometimes anomalous because of the situation of John in Patmos and because of the situation of the church in Revelation? Harassed, gloomy. Well, this praise sounds so upbeat, so triumphant. Is this the case of a man whistling in the dark? Ibang taong takot sa dilim, pero sumisipol para pangalis lang ng takot. Ganito pa ang ginagawa rito? Hindi. This is the spirit of assurance because of the certain destiny of the kingdom of Christ. brethren, we are not sent to a thankless, fruitless mission. In fact, the destiny of the mission is assured. Therefore, we should be praising people, a praising church. One type of bird that Charles Darwin observed in Galapagos, from which he made some theories which we cannot agree with, but the animals he observed were beautifully varied. And one bird that he observed is what we now call the mockingbird. Well, the reason why it got that name is because it mimics the sound of other birds as well as other insects. And praise, brethren, is not mimicry. It will just be mocking God if there is no outburst of praise in us when we have this spectacle of who Christ is. So my challenge is, bear in mind to glorify Christ in His kingly rule in your vocation in the world. Ilagay mo sa iyong isip na purihin si Jesucristo sa Kanyang makaharing pamamahala kung nasaan ka sa mundo. The Christian must bear this in mind in a world that is obsessed with selfish occupation. The church must make it her deliberate mandate, because the world will never hear the praise of Christ from pagans, from selfish people. They will not hear the praise of Christ from the powerful arena of politics, or from Wall Street or Makati Business Club. They should hear the praise of Christ from the church, because it is the one institution that truly recognizes Christ is now King. When Isaac Watts penned the words, "Jesus shall reign," in 1719, William Carey was not even born yet, and global mission has not happened yet in the evangelical Christianity. And yet it proved prophetic that the kingdom of Christ will extend, His realm shall extend to all the world. And brethren, that is what we believe. The church is small and bullied in the world, but Jesus is on the throne. And that is enough for the church to proclaim His rule, to claim His love, and to direct its praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us sing that last hymn, "Jesus Shall Reign," where ere the sun does his successive journeys run. At ang panawagan dito, verse 3, "People and realms of every tongue dwell on his love with sweetest song, and infant voices shall proclaim their early blessings on his name." And verse 5, "Let every creature rise and bring peculiar honors to our King. Angels descend with songs again, and earth repeat the loud Amen." Let us fill our spirits today with true and genuine praise of our King. Let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos, maraming salamat sa pagtitiyak na ito para kay Juan at sa iglesia na kanyang kinakatawan sa panahon na lubhang nakapanlulumo ang kanilang kalagayan, ay binigyan sila ng pagtitiyak na si Jesucristo ay may makaharing pamamahala, at ito ay kanyang nakamit ng dahil sa kanyang kamatayan at pagkabuhay na muli, at ito ang dinadala ng iglesia sa kanyang pagharap sa mundo, gaano man nakapanlulumo ang kanyang kalagayan. At nawa ay mayroon sa mga nakinig ngayon na yumukod sa pagkapanginoon ni Jesucristo at tanggapin ang sa kanya na alok na kaligtasan, na tanging siya lamang ang makapagbibigay sa paraan ng kanyang kamatayan at pagkabuhay. We thank you that no matter how gloomy our situation as a church, we can believe and rest assured that Jesus sits on his throne as King. And so grant that as we face the stark realities of the world to which the church has been sent, help us to invoke the rule of Christ. He rules even over the kings of the earth. And no matter how powerful they often prove to be in pursuing the church and harassing the church, yet the rule of Christ is never threatened. And we need to submit to that rule. Speak to anyone here where that rule should have its sweeping and radical implications, and challenge each one. But let the radical implication be most true for the church in her mission in this world. We are claiming sinners, their allegiance to Christ. Give us that power so to do. And let our motive be drawn from his love. He loves us. And yet as we think of that active, present love, it is not proven by what our situation is, what is in our pocket, or how healthy we are, or whatever convenience many measure that love by. Instead, that love that is present and active is proven by what has happened in the past. Christ died. He shed his blood. He became the Lamb of God. And because of his blood, we are freed from sin. And may this thought always challenge us and make the love of Christ a compelling motive for each one and for this church. And because of your kingly rule and the assurance of your love, fill us with praise. We praise you because your dominion is forever and ever. And what but we must say to him, be glory. And thus as we have sung, to him shall endless prayer be made and praises throng to crown his head. Make us praising men and women, and make us a praising church because of who Christ is. And make us ready to face the world. No matter how gloomy, we have a glorious word for this world. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.